Welcome to People in Exile, where we have conversations, host interviews, discuss books, and engage with the Bible to help believers live out their faith in an unbelieving world.
Welcome to this episode of People in Exile. I'm your host for this episode, Chris Chambers. And as always, I'm here with...
The Ben Ellis
and...
Andrew Chamberlain,
yes. And this evening, for this particular episode, it's going to be a little bit different than some of the others in that we generally do a pretty good amount of prep prior to the episode. And this episode, one of us has prepped and two of us have not. And I'm the one that has come up with some topics, and I'm going to throw it out to these guys for the first time.
We're a little nervous.
Yeah. It's
why do I feel like I've just been thrown under the bus at the same time? Is that me or?
Well, we'll see how this goes. Now, for this particular episode, we are going to be giving away a copy of Albert Mohler's book called The Conviction to Lead.
So, very good book.
It is a good book. I think all three of us have read it.
Yeah? Yeah. Correct.
And so if you'd like a copy of that book, if you would share and or like this particular episode, we'll put your names in a hat and we'll pick one out and we'll get it out sent to you.
Yeah, and just keep subscribing. We've been checking that. We're seeing an uptick
yeah,
in
absolutely.
Our subscriptions. So just keep doing that. We appreciate it. So yeah, and we love to give the books away. So yeah, great.
So, fellas, in light of the holidays, we've now we're past Thanksgiving. We have Christmas coming up in what, about 2.5 weeks or so, and we're right in the middle of the Advent season, all of those types of things. Yeah, it's here. I figured we would talk a little bit about the holidays, talk a little bit about Christmas, with a mind or a thought towards the fact that this is people in exile. So, how are people in exile to live right in this time of the year? You know, is it different than other times? So with that being said, first thing I want to ask you is this: do you have any family traditions revolving around Thanksgiving family traditions? Anything that your family has done for years and years and years that is unique in any way? Or and how about this: if you don't have a particular family tradition, is there a particular in maybe your ministry you've come across some family traditions that are particularly interesting?
Well, I will say there is one unintentional tradition that Thanksgiving we tend to find ourselves in a lot of different geographies, and so we've had Thanksgiving with family quite a bit, but we've also had Thanksgiving with friends.
Yeah,
and we did that this year.
Yep.
And it's a really cool experience because. Then you start to realize, especially this year, we had Thanksgiving with friends who are believers.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are family.
Yeah.
So it's really good to, have that. And it's good for, I think, my kids, because then they start to understand that while we value and very appreciative of our blood relatives, you get to see that there are other people
mm-hmm.
That you can connect to. So that's one. And then we did something a little bit different this year at the shelter. And my buddy Ben was a big helper. If it wasn't for Ben, we couldn't accomplish this. So thank you, Ben.
You're welcome.
And your family helped too, Chris. That was awesome. We actually cooked the meal ourselves for all of our clients and all of our ones that are in our program, and served them. We got to carve the turkey in front of them and have that time of Thanksgiving together. So that was really cool. It was new for us because it's my first year leading there. So that was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Benjamin?
Yeah, for me, it was, I don't know, Thanksgiving was really kind of weird. My parents actually got divorced when I was 6.
Okay.
So my Thanksgiving tradition was, let's have like 3 Thanksgivings.
Okay.
So it's like, so we had one Thanksgiving with my mom and one Thanksgiving with my dad. And then randomly, I would go over to a friend of ours' house. And it's just because her dad made this awesome fried turkey when he took like, this mix of like Italian dressing and hot sauce and like injected it into the turkey and then fried that puppy.
Yeah.
And I was like, so I'm having like 3 Thanksgivings. Yeah. And that was like my tradition all the way through like high school.
Was your mom and dad close by, or did you have to do a lot of traveling for that?
No, my mom and dad lived pretty close. Mostly they lived either in Gainesville at the same time, or they lived in one of the surrounding like Alachua or Archer.
Okay,
it was all within a drive. Absolutely. So it was like my Thanksgiving tradition was let's have 3 of them.
Yeah,
ready, set, go.
So for Andrew, you've lived in different places. Ben, you and I, Florida, right?
Yep.
Other than, I guess, when you were in seminary.
Yeah.
North Carolina for a little bit.
Right? Yeah, yeah. For about 7 years.
But our Florida tradition, just based on the weather, is you could be on a Thanksgiving day in shorts, outside in
absolutely.
Shorts. Yeah, and that was pretty standard. I can remember many a times, you know, 80s, 90s degrees outside.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And then I know when my wife and I started dating, her family, their tradition was they all went over to one of the sisters' houses. Her dad's side, her dad has a bunch of brothers and sisters, and so they'd all go to the same place where they grew up, actually in St. Petersburg, and they, you know, they would just meet there. And then more recently we've stopped going over there, not because there's any animosity toward them or anything like that, just because. As the families grow, it's harder to get everybody over there. Now we have three kids. Stephanie's sister has four kids. And so to get everybody together and up,
you're going to start to need like rent, not only a bus to get over there, but like a whole pavilion just to seat everybody.
Yeah. Now, we've mentioned Thanksgiving. One of the things that can happen at Thanksgiving time is politics can start to be discussed a little bit around the Thanksgiving turkey, right? And so my question to you is this. Now, right now, it's a pretty interesting time in the life of the United States. We have a president who is currently going through impeachment proceedings. It appears that...
they filed, haven't they?
Well, yeah, it appears that the articles of impeachment will be filed here shortly. There'll be a vote probably before Christmas time. And then starting the first month of 2020, looks like there could be and likely to be a Senate trial to determine whether he continues in his presidency or not. So definitely interesting. There have been now, two other presidents who have been impeached, right? Mm-hmm. Andrew Jackson.
Nixon.
Yeah. I'm sorry. And then, of course, Clinton, Bill Clinton, and now Trump, right?
Andrew Johnson.
Sorry. Yeah. Misspoke. Yeah. So
he's from my hometown.
Is that right? Yeah. Yeah.
And what's funny, real quick, on our phone book, for the home, back when you would get phone books, right? Mm-hmm. They had a picture of him.
What's a phone book?
And they actually put Andrew Jackson. And we're like, you got to be kidding. This is your guy. Our guy. And you can't even get his name.
Yeah. So, one of the things, and I don't know that we've necessarily talked about that on this podcast. I know we've talked about it outside of the podcast, but we are in a more and more polarized society, right? For sure. The impeachment certainly is very, very political, right? You're either on one side or you're on the other side, and it seems like everybody on one side believes one way, everybody on the other side believes another way. And if you were to reverse the facts, everybody would probably just switch sides and they would stay
very partisan.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. So anyhow, with that being said, in particular, since we're in the holiday season, how should a believer handle politics and in particular in the climate in which we find ourselves?
Well, I think first of all, I think one thing that you can do is be loving.
Yeah.
Be respectful, listen. Second, you don't always have to speak. It's the old adage that when you start to argue, all you really do is entrench the other person in their view. Mm-hmm. So you got to realize what are you after. Third, it's okay to have your opinion.
Yeah.
And if it's an appropriate thing to share, I suppose. But just because you have an opinion doesn't, like I said, don't mean you have to speak. Mm-hmm. And I think last is if you do feel so inclined to speak, speak in a way that's not just about trying to score points or gain something, but know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I don't follow the statement that's like, okay, the three things you can't talk about are politics, religion, and
Generally those two, right? Religion and politics.
Religion and politics will pretty much ruin anything else.
I don't think you necessarily have to follow that. I just think you gotta be wise and just know when to shut up, I suppose.
Yeah, I think there's a graciousness that comes whenever you're dealing with a difficult topic. And as people who are supposed to be typified by gentleness, by reverence, by graciousness, by holiness, that graciousness that we need to extend to others, I think is extremely important as we deal with it. Just as to plug something that I just think is funny and amuses me, there is a YouTube channel called The Holderness Family, and they have a song that is exactly about this. It's called it's called the Thanksgiving Ignore the Thanksgiving Elephant, and I'm gonna see if I can't cajole Chris into putting a link to that on the page. If for nothing else, it's hilarious. Don't worry. It doesn't matter what party you affiliate with.
You're gonna
be offended by something. Yeah. I promise. But yeah, going back to but really kind of you know on a serious note though, we do need to make sure that we as a body of believers we have to do that. We have to handle all these difficult topics graciously. On a more serious note, there is a resource called Body Broken, which is a book that's out there. And it, again, deals with this issue of, you know, how does the body of Christ come together, realizing that Christ is our first Savior and that our home is not here, that ultimately we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. But how do we still at the same time deal with the issue of politics in our daily walk, in our daily life, and as a body, realizing that there are some people who are avowed Democrats and also believers.
Yeah.
And there are people who are staunch Republicans and believers.
Yeah.
And we have to realize that there are believers who fall all over that spectrum and agree or disagree. We have to understand that, you know, Christ is our King and that heaven is the kingdom that we belong to.
Yeah. Tim Keller has a book, Counterfeit Gods. I think we've mentioned it before. But because it is this Christmas episode, instead of giving away just one book, we're going to give away two. Yeah, there we go. Big time. So Tim Keller, we're going to give away a copy of Tim Keller's book, Counterfeit Gods. So again, definitely share and or like and preferably subscribe and let your friends and family know as well. And we'll look to get you a copy of one of those books for sure. Now, you mentioned something. You said there are Republicans who are Christians. There are Democrats who are Christians. And there are some out there that would listen to that and say, I can't see it. There's no way that somebody could be X, right, whether it's Republican or Democrat, and also be a believer. So how important is humility when approaching some of these sensitive topics?
Well, I think it's hugely. I think there is a certain level of humility that's hugely important, and I think you know you're absolutely right. There, I do have friends who say you cannot be a Democrat and be a Christian, or you can't take a look at the corporate
I will
view that
say,
drives.
I've never heard someone say you can't be a Republican, be a Christian. I don't think I've ever heard that one. Have you all?
Well, I actually have. I have. It's,
I'm just
and
saying,
it's because
I haven't heard that one. I have heard the Democrat.
The position is, and ultimately, what it breaks down to is this: is that if the person is Republican saying you can't be a Democrat and a Christian, they're looking at what they perceive as moral abuses, largely around the issue of the LGBT agenda and abortion. Those are really the two like driving spears where they're going to say those are moral issues that you can't hold on to and be a Christian at the same time.
Well, Pastor Jeff this morning mentioned he was out at the residence reception here recently at PHSC.
Correct.
And somebody came up to him and said, oh, you're a church? Oh, okay, y'all must have voted for Trump. I'm out of here. So I didn't necessarily say you're not a believer, but certainly came at it from a very...
I guess, let me restate my phrase real quick. I've never heard within circles that are definitely believers. Mm-hmm. I have definitely heard within believer circles, you can't be a Christian and a Democrat. Mm-hmm. Heard that one. But I've never heard in circle of believers, you can't be a Christian or Republican. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that means anything.
I think that when you do hear that, what you hear it from is you hear it from somebody who is liberal in their politics.
And they're
just simply saying, you know, Republicans by and large, they don't care about people. They're not displaying the love of the gospel. If they were actually displaying the love of the gospel, then they would try to levy all of the levers they can to take care of the widows and the orphans. And that's pretty much the tack that ends up taking. But either way, to circle back around to the actual question.
Yes, I derailed that one.
What was the original question? What was the question, Chris?
the question was, how do we handle these type of topics, specifically around, you know, Thanksgiving time, Christmas time? You're not seeing some family, you know, some kind of distant family we don't get to see all the time. You get to see them during this time frame, and certainly these topics could come up. How do we handle it as a believer?
Well, I think again, there is humility that's involved, and I think that there's a sense in which, you know, we have a ministry of reconciliation, right? I mean, primarily what Paul's talking about when he's talking about a ministry of reconciliation is a ministry of reconciliation between God and man, and that's via the gospel. But the reality is that the gospel has implications for us as believers as well. And part of that is what that means is that we as believers be reconciled to one another, even if we still continue to disagree on what is a secondary or even a tertiary view or issue in the midst of all that. You know what I'm saying? So I think that we just have to approach it with, you know, level heads and calm heads. And the problem is that many of us, whether intentionally or not, see so much of how we operate as believers in a political spectrum to almost see politics as salvific, at least in an American context. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and again, Counterfeit Gods, Keller really, really speaks to that particular issue in pretty good detail, and I think he does so in a very helpful manner. So,
also, I think another book that's helpful is J.B. Phillips' Your God is Too Small.
Okay.
Is another,
that's a good book.
Okay. Okay, yeah, and one more just kind of in the politics realm here. Again, I mentioned the impeachment proceedings and all those types of things, and so... How important is that? I think Al Mohler, again, we're giving away his book, Conviction to Lead. He has a podcast, a daily podcast called The Briefing that he does. He has another one that comes out not as frequently called Thinking in Public, which is also very good. Definitely highly recommend. But in The Briefing, he talks through these kind of ideas on a fairly regular basis. And I think he does a pretty good job of trying to come at it from a nonpartisan angle, kind of strictly from a biblical standpoint. And he mentions regularly, you know, that we, whether you're a Republican, whether you're a Democrat, try not to only see the issue from your side, but try to put yourself in the shoes of the other side. And how is it that you would respond? So if you're a Republican and you had a Democratic president in there doing what, you know, the current Republican president, Donald Trump, has done, would you feel the same way you do now, being on that side, and vice versa? And so I think that is important for us to always kind of put ourselves in the other shoe in order to try to be as objective as possible.
So especially if you were a Republican and you were being cranky while Bill Clinton was going through impeachment stuff,
exactly.
We might need to check ourselves a little bit.
Right.
Well, I think the challenge with both of those is, for either side, for a Democrat mm-hmm. or for a Republican, is understanding, specifically with impeachment, if we're going to, mm-hmm. yeah. you know, on that this isn't supposed to be a partisan issue. There's mm-hmm. supposed to be high crimes and misdemeanors.
Yeah, right.
We've heard. And so the challenge then is you know, how do you, because you got to be as objective as possible, mm-hmm. you know, because the thing, like, and each party is guilty of this.
Yeah.
They got to be careful what measures they take in that term, because the party is going to do the same thing the next term.
Exactly.
You know? So, but that's the challenge that politicians face. They're always, because they tend to be playing a short-term game, mm-hmm. you know, with long-term effects. So, mm-hmm. and I don't mean that as a knock on the Democrats nor the Republicans. I think it's equal, you know, it's a challenge. And then when we start to talk about it, I mean, has been said, you know, referencing Clinton, you got to be very careful. Like, you don't want to, if you're a Republican right now, you got to be careful not to justify certain things just because your party won.
Mm-hmm.
Because, okay, well, what's going to happen 8 years from now? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're going to have egg on your face, so to speak. So, I mean, and if, I don't know if y'all are familiar with David French, he's kind of the big conservative that is a believer and against Trump and is very vocal, and he's got a lot of, you know, flack in some circles, but I gotta be honest, I don't agree with everything he says, mm-hmm. but he's definitely done a good job of, like, okay, this party will outlast Trump, so mm-hmm. how are we going to deal with that? So, you know, you just got to think long term. I think as a believer, when I say long term, I'm not even thinking eternal.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, look, there's going to be another president. There's going to be mm-hmm. another, you know, so think in those terms, act in those ways.
All right. Now, next up, we'll get a little bit lighter here. Well, certainly.
At least we're going to try.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. Okay.
We're getting to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Again, we're in between Thanksgiving and Christmas right now. We talked about some Thanksgiving traditions. How about Christmas traditions or Advent season traditions? Let's start with kind of from a family standpoint.
Yes,
what are some? Yeah. What? Go ahead. Go ahead.
We do Advent.
So what do you do? What do you do for Advent?
We have. So my wife's really good at this, but she usually mixes a little fun for the kids. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as like a gift, a game, something like that. And then we
is this daily or during Advent season?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And right now we're with our kids. We're going through a Paul Tripp wrote a devotional mm-hmm. on Advent, and we're going that with our kids. And
come, let us adore.
Oh yeah, it's really really good. Paul Tripp is like
He's solid. Man.
Well, not only is he solid, but he writes amazing devotionals.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. Sometimes devotionals can be cheesy. Mm-hmm. His is not.
Yeah.
So anyway, we do that with the kids, and then leading up to, and one of the things. A little different this year. I've really tried to get my kids to understand, like, and it's kind of hard at their age, but you know, was it like 430 years from Malachi to, you know, 400 and some years, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, look, can you imagine like that waiting? Mm-hmm. And Jeff did a good job today. Like, we're waiting still for the second return.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. trying to get that point across with them. And then we decorate. That's the fun one. They love to decorate. Mm-hmm. And so
and y'all did some of that today, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's what we're doing this afternoon. We're not done.
Yeah.
We got a lot. We want to. We're really
interior, exterior, both.
Both.
Yeah. All right.
I'm trying to steal some of your ideas.
Here, yeah, yeah.
But I didn't pull a trick on that one. So.
So you got nativity scene.
Yeah, that's the one. Sorry.
We got some toy soldiers
you guys, or
you nutcrackers.
You all went out this year, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, the kids have been asked me to do it.
How tall are your?
6 feet. They're not that.
Just
big.
6 feet.
Yeah, yeah. They're not that big.
Wait, 6 feet.
Yeah.
Well,
the average man is.
5 something or another.
Yeah, like 5'8", 5'9", something like that.
Yeah.
So your toy soldiers are taller than the average man. Yeah, I'm telling you, man.
Well, we're here, you know, for any of you listening outside of Spring Hill, we're here in Central Florida, Spring Hill, and we are the inflatable capital of the world.
So true.
I cannot wait to like get into that. I'm
trying. Yeah.
My wife's not
like I told you, man. I found an inflatable nativity.
That's
done and done. Done and done. Plug it in, and you're good to go. Ben, what about you, man? Christmas tradition, Advent season in particular.
I think my Christmas tradition this year is I'm going to resign. no, Christmas traditions for us, man. Advent, yeah, we always try to do some kind of devotional as we're going into Advent. Because, I mean, just even already for us this year, December, I know I realize it's like December 8th, Ben. It's not that far. I'm like, December has gone by so fast.
Mm-hmm.
So fast. For us, so just anything we can do to kind of pump the brakes on just the passing of time for us and our family is really important to us. So definitely doing Advent, definitely working with that process. Also just kind of taking things step by step.
Mm-hmm.
We're a little bit more intentional, I think, about decorating in stages for us. We've had some fun decorating outside of the house and inside of the house, and my wife absolutely adores Christmas decorating, so mm-hmm. we have not one but two Christmas trees.
That's what I'm talking about.
And then each of the girls have a Christmas tree in their room, so that's actually a total of four Christmas trees. And I made a offhanded remark. I like comic books. I grew up reading comic books, so I made a joke about having a Christmas tree that was decorated one half Marvel characters, one half DC characters. And she's like, oh, "That's genius." I'm like, "No, I was being sarcastic." She's like, "No, we're definitely doing that next year."
There we go.
Okay. There so we go. I mean, it is definitely a thing in our house, but just the whole process for us, just to kind of like slow down and take the pace and realize, you know, that even in the midst of the lights and the ribbon and the garland and the Christmas trees and the everything else is going on, you know, just to slow down and understand that this is really about Christ.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why, you know, and I know every church, well, almost every church does some kind of like Christmas program, whether it's a cantata or a musical or a lot of our churches do. But just even that, just the process of taking time to like kind of focus in on what's going on. And then for us, Christmas Day, my mom actually started this tradition with us when we were kids. It was that we actually, before we get to break into presents and stockings and everything else, we read the birth of Christ from Luke,
mm-hmm.
From Luke's account, just to kind of slow us down. You know, yeah, we're going to get into all the toys and everything else, and that's going to be fun, and that's going to be great. We're going to love the kids. But yeah, let's scroll back and figure out why we're here.
Yeah, so good.
Can
I share a quick
one? Yeah,
of course.
I kind of wish we would, you know, in Spain, not just Spain, but I think a lot of countries do this, but they have like Three Kings Day.
Mm-hmm.
It's January 6th. That's when you actually get your gifts. December 25th is focused around the birth.
Mm.
And I always liked that one because
that is like, cool.
It was really neat because you still got the gifts.
Yeah.
You know, they just tied it to the Three Kings.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And then, but that, so I always thought that was cool. We haven't really, my kids actually said, why don't we adopt that? I was like, okay. But we haven't done it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, anyway, side note.
By then the kids are back in school and
that's true.
yeah, one of the things last couple of years, so I'm in a, you know, in a networking group, B&I, and one of the things that's been pretty cool about this group last couple of years is a little over 100 children who aren't getting anything. There's a particular member named Judy, and she brings in cards, and it has a list of you know, kids who aren't going to be getting a Christmas, and she says, hey, you know, we have almost 60 members in our group. She says, hey, anybody want to, you know, essentially adopt one of these children to buy gifts? And they put down what kind of they're looking for, you know, priority one, you know, all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so last year we did a couple of kids. This year we're doing a few more. And, you know, that's kind of cool to kind of give back as a reminder. I know my parents have.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, my parents have taken my children shopping and then and not to shop for themselves, but to shop for. And they go to like a children's home and they'll go and they'll, you know, drop them off. So that's something that we've kind of incorporated the last few years. Anything like that as far as giving back?
I think for us, we've had a longstanding. In fact, this is one thing that's been kind of disappointing for us this Christmas year, and that's just because of busyness, is Operation Christmas Child.
Yeah.
And we're really huge into that. We love doing it. We know people who are employed at Samaritan's Purse, and in fact, one of our staff members on church, he actually has a cousin who works on the ground, if I remember what he told me correctly. She works on the ground distributing Christmas Child boxes, but we always
to the kids.
Yeah, to the kids. Wow. To the kids.
That'd
yeah,
be a cool job.
But another thing we try to do is we try to go. So we always do Christmas boxes, but we also try to go up to the distribution center. There's actually a variety of them. There's one in Atlanta. There's one in Charlotte. There's one in Dallas. There's one in Boone.
Y'all going to the one
Baltimore.
In
Baltimore? That's one I've been.
Is there one in Baltimore? Yeah. I didn't know there was one in Baltimore. But we try to go to the one in Boone.
Yeah.
Just because that's where Samaritan's Purse headquarters are. Like I said, we have friends who work there, it's kind of a double edged sword for us. We get to see friends and do work at the same time.
It's a lot of fun going to the process center.
It really is. It really is.
Scanner thing.
Oh, dude, that's my favorite. Yeah. But we miss that because it's another opportunity for us to kind of plug in and serve and do those kind of things. And I think that's one of the things that's hugely valuable to.
So with the Boone one, is it right? Is it really? I mean, I've been to the headquarters.
Yeah.
Is it right there at the headquarters?
It's across the street. It's across the parking lot.
That's cool.
Let me ask you this. And again, we're going to stay in this kind of Advent Christmas season. But I wanted to ask you this: if you know, it seems like the Christmas season comes quicker and quicker this year, the fastest yet in my mind. But have there been any years? You know, again, every year, man, every year December's coming. You know, and have you ever gotten to the Christmas season? You're just not into it. It's like not again. I don't want to do it this year. Not in the Christmas spirit, quote unquote. Have you run into any of those years?
The year I graduated from undergrad.
Okay, what happened?
It was 2004, and I had finals, and I had done something like.
So you'd been what, 25?
24.
Okay.
24. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd done something kind of dumb, so I ended up with this like stupid art class at the last semester of needing to graduate before graduating undergrad, and I was just toast.
Mm-hmm.
Like finals were late that year, so it was the second week of December, and I was just wiped, and I was just like, I just want to go home. I just want to sleep.
Yeah,
leave me alone for like 2 weeks. I just need to be dead.
My first year in Spain was pretty hard because it was just so new, and then we didn't have family and friends and all that kind of stuff, and I'll forget. And my mom, she loves all that stuff. I mean, we all do, but she, you know, she does too. And she was really down because it was like, man, it's so different. We ended up at some, I'm going to say bar. I mean, that's kind of a different meaning in Spain than it has in the States. But anyway, we're at this cafe. I think it's probably a better word. And we're eating ham sandwiches. And we're like, it was one of these like, ugh, you know. That was probably my hardest.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah.
Merry Christmas, Pass the Mustard.
So,
por favor.
Yeah, okay. So let me ask you this. You mentioned reading the Christmas story. Are there any other? It could be. Could be secular. Could be Christian. Either or. But I've heard some folks say that what they'll do starting December 1, they'll start in Luke 1, and they'll read all 24 chapters of Luke all the way up until Christmas Eve, and that way you've read through the entire Gospel of Luke leading up to Christmas. I actually saw online the other day one of our members, he said I guess every year he reads A Christmas Carol by Dickens. Yeah. Oh, so just kind of get them in the Christmas spirit. Anything like that, either that you engage in or that you have heard others over the years?
I don't know if this counts. There's nothing like in particular I read.
Yeah.
But one thing I've always really, really enjoyed, I love, again, I don't know if this is what you're going after. I love like going to, like our church's next Saturday, next Sunday, the Christmas program.
Yeah, yeah.
For whatever reason, like that's, and Christmas Eve services. Mm-hmm, I mm-hmm. love
candlelight. Oh, yeah.
Last year I was a little freaked out because we had real candles, and I have Beckett. And
yeah.
I
was like, oh, and that was the first year we've done real candles in quite some time.
Yeah.
Ooh, that was nerve wracking. But yeah. Those things in particular for me, they are very meaningful. Mm-hmm, yeah. So that's not really reading, but I mean mm-hmm. very meaningful
yeah.
for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm a huge fan of Christmas Carol services just in general.
Yeah.
I think this may be a problem, maybe not, but we garner so much of our theology from our worship mm-hmm. That when we can develop into, in fact, this is one of the reasons our pastor's doing a great job right now with developing a sermon series around popular Christmas songs that we've sung. We did Go Tell It On, he led with Go Tell It On the Mountain today. But we garner so much of our theology from our music, which is why our music needs to be at an extraordinarily high standard in terms of worship, or at least it should be. But I think that's why Christmas carols are important, because it also gives us time to focus our hearts as we go into the day of Christmas. Everybody's got it off. Everybody's, mm-hmm. It's a huge opportunity for us to revel in a moment that is very secularly appealing, mm-hmm. which we know because everybody under the sun has like sales from Black Friday, actually now starting on Thanksgiving Day, going mm-hmm. all the way up until the day before Christmas.
Yeah.
There's a huge secular bent to the holiday now, but just the idea of something, again, just to slow us down, to stop us, to give us a pause and just say, this is about something far grander
mm-hmm. yeah.
than anything under the tree.
Yeah.
So I love all those kind of things that just slow us down and force us mm-hmm. to do that.
Speaking of songs, Oh Holy Night.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. The theology, I guess.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah. And you mentioned, it's very, a lot of secular appeal. And mm-hmm. so you have, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. folks, and a couple of years ago, it kind of struck me that you have, how many people, right, sing these hymns year after year after year, right? Mm-hmm. And yet go to their grave without actually knowing the God of those songs, the Christ mm-hmm. who came to be their Savior. Mm-hmm. It's super sad, super Absolutely. Sad. There it was on their lips, right? Their mm-hmm. tongue forming these words, and yet it never reached their heart, okay, let's see what else. Next question that I have. Yeah, you mentioned Pastor Jeff is doing a series this year on popular Christmas songs. He did Oh Holy Night last week. Mm-hmm. He did Go Tell It on the Mountain this week. I think he mentioned he's looking at probably Joy to the World next week is what he was thinking. What are your thoughts on that kind of, and it could be Bible study. We're all life group leaders here as well. You lead all of our life groups, Ben. And, what are y'all's thoughts, your thoughts on, this time of year? Is it a good time to stop and have some kind of a Christmas related theme, during December? What are your thoughts? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's great.
Okay.
I mean, I think,
and again, this could be either as the lead pastor of the whole church,
sure.
could be just in your individual Bible study.
Again, I think it's in all those settings mm-hmm. wonderful because, I had a good pastor friend teach me one time. He's like, there are certain rhythms in people's lives that you don't want to fight. And this is one of them you don't want to fight, mm-hmm. you know, so go with that rhythm instead mm-hmm. of against it. And like today, the Go Tell It on the Mountain, I mean, his connection to Isaiah to Romans, I mean, mm-hmm. that was great. Mm-hmm. It was a great sermon, you know, really, and got into the evangelism. I thought he did a great job. So it shows you that for, here's a Southern term, that will preach, you know, mm-hmm. it will preach. Yeah. It's good stuff. Yeah. It's solid stuff. So I think it's good. I think it's where people are. If you have like a series, maybe if you're a pastor and you've been going through, a book for a long time, it might be a good time to take a little break and give your people a little chance to get mm-hmm. out. But yeah, I think it's great. Mm-hmm. But let me also encourage those who don't. I don't think you have to.
Yeah.
You know, but I think it's a great.
Well, thing. And before you answer, Ben, you know, for years during this time, I'm absolutely going to stop, and we're going to do some kind of a Christmas series. And in the last couple of years, I haven't done that. And again, not because I think it's a bad thing. I think it's a great thing. Again, I think you mentioned the word rhythm. I think that's a good thing for us to always remember. But at the same time, I think it's also neat when you're studying through particular books of the Bible, and you wouldn't
necessarily there.
Yeah, you wouldn't necessarily connect it right to the Christmas story or the you know, the incarnation or any of those things. This gives you an opportunity to take that, and you know, like we're studying Hosea now, and you certainly can see you know, in any book of the Bible, you can see the connection, and you may not in other times of the year make those connections, but if you continue studying through whatever you're studying through, I think you can make some neat connections that way. So what about you, Ben?
Yeah, I think what I would just say is it really undergirds what Andrew's already said about just the rhythm of life that you're in already around Christmas, is that trying to teach or preach around Christmas while you're in the middle of December mm-hmm. is kind of dumb because it's everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, it's like everybody's already talking about Christmas, and, you know, we've had Hobby Lobby's had Christmas decorations out since, like, you know, August.
Yeah, right.
You know, so it's like the fact that we've made it to November, we've made it to December, and if you're not engaging with Christmas, I mean, it's you're missing this giant cultural moment to help walk your people through, disciple your people through just this moment of celebrating Christ for who he is and the incarnation in a moment when even the secular world is leaning into.
Yeah. Speaking of the secular, we all were at Busch Gardens not too long ago.
Correct.
Did you notice how many Christian hymns were being sung through Busch Gardens?
Oh, absolutely.
Sure. I was like, holy cow, holy night.
Yeah.
Hey. Hey-o.
But you're right. You hit the nail on the head. You've got this opportunity, and Chris made that point earlier where maybe all these people are forming it in their mouth that never connects their heart. Maybe if we take that time, it will. So
yeah, great. No kidding, absolutely.
Okay, and we're going to do something in a moment, little kind of rapid fire. I love some rapid fire, you know. So we'll do only two or three questions with the rapid fire. We'll do that in a minute. Before we do that, though, one more kind of somber, serious topic. As Andrew alluded to a few minutes ago, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say the skull.
Yeah, the skull. We have a skull on our desk. And Ben,
why? That's why we need to go to video so
everybody can see it. We'll snap a picture of it. Ben, as soon as I put that on the desk, you said something. What'd you say?
What did I say? I said Al Mohler.
You did. Now, why'd you say that?
The reason I said Al Mohler is because Al Mohler actually talks about this. And he talks about in his office, he has two things that often cause questions and conversations.
Yeah.
And that is a skull, and he carries I think it's a grandfather clock, actually, in his office, but it actually keeps time, and it dings, and it ticks
every second.
And both
that's
of
the book you all can.
Yep, get. That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Conviction to lead.
Yeah.
But both of those things remind him, as he talks about it, of the shortness of life and the temporary sort of ephemeral.
Yep.
We are but a vapor.
Yeah.
Kind of reality in which we live, and we have 60 to 70, 80. You know, if we're really lucky, 90 to 100 years to really kind of engage the culture around us. And how are we using and leveraging that life for the gospel?
Yep.
You know, and have we used and spent every second in the context of our life kind of leaning into the gospel and what God has called us, who God has called us to be, what he's crafted and created us to be. And I just think it's really powerful, and I think it's certainly helpful for us because, you know, the skull, it seems a little dark, it seems a little dreary, but the reality, too, is that it's a strong reminder.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is dark, yes, it is dreary, but it's a powerful reminder that every word that we speak in this podcast should somebody, you know, other than our mothers hear it, it may have a serious impact in their life, and it may carry weight that goes with it. And sometimes, especially when we're talking about the gospel, it really is the issue of life and death. Mm-hmm. And it we don't say that lightly. We don't say that flippantly. We try to say it with all the respect and the gravitas that it deserves.
Yeah.
Because ultimately it is about the gospel.
Yeah. You know, two things for him, for Moeller in particular, it's a reminder to him that this you're not getting this second back. If you hear that right. clock ticking, tick, 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 you're not getting that time back. It's mm-hmm. never going to have a second chance to deal with that time. Mm-hmm. You know, today I look back on my day, you know, went to church or, you know, met together with a church body for life group, went to service, went out to eat for lunch, went home, sat down and watched some football. Again, was that wasteful time? You know, that's something I think all of us need.
Who was playing?
Yeah, right. I think all of us need to, you know, ask that question again. Is there anything inherently bad with sports? No, of course not. How am I spending my life, though? How am I spending my time? Mm-hmm. And again, I think this is a reminder to me. You know, the other night, man, I was here till, you know, 11 o'clock at night. My wife and kids were at home. Here I am in the office doing work. Again, I'm never going to get that time back with my kids, with my wife. You know, is it that important to be here working for other folks? You know, and so for me, that's kind of why I put it there. I love the idea for Moeller. I actually thought about doing it years ago and finally said, you know what, I'm going to do it. I need this reminder when the clock's ticking away and I see that time just going. So mm-hmm. anyhow, anything else?
That's actually, yeah, I was just going to kind of just leaning into what you're saying too. Like now is such a great time to have that reminder because it's Christmas. We have opportunities as believers to kind of reset all those values, mm-hmm. right? Well, I mean, not even as believers, using it as a secular audience. It's the end of the year. Yeah, you have an opportunity. At some point, we're going to start talking about New Year's resolutions yeah. wherever you are. Yeah. But now's the time to kind of reset those priorities and kind mm-hmm. of figure those out. You know, you're talking about, I'm never going to get that time back with my kids
yeah.
or not with my kids yeah. in that particular vein. You know, now's the time we have a moment to slow down, to pause, to think, and just say, you know, how am I spending my life?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Even from a secular perspective, is what you're doing valuable?
Yeah.
You know, not only to you in the moment, but to the people around you in the long run. And mm-hmm. as a Christian, or as a believer in Christ, that ought to even bear more weight on us because Christ calls us to redeem the time because the day is near.
Well, I wasn't going to ask this question, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to ask it here. When we're thinking through that though, right? What would be maybe two or three mm-hmm. you know, priorities that we would say, okay, when I'm choosing to spend my time like this, whatever this may be, what are some things I need to be considering? You know, A, B, and C. Just real quick, what are some things we need to be thinking about? From a Christian standpoint, from a Jeremiah 29:7 standpoint, what is it that we should be kind of contemplating?
My first answer just mm-hmm. got is
yeah.
learning to rely upon God.
Okay.
Because one, I think I wasn't going to say this earlier because I don't want to sound opposed to this, but I think sometimes when we get so concerned about our time,
mm-hmm.
and I think we should be. So
yeah.
Don't hear
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I think we can start to actually then think that we gotta take it. We gotta do everything. You know.
Yeah.
But then we gotta understand that, man. No. God's got it.
Yeah.
I got to just run in him. So first mm-hmm. one, just rely on God.
Yeah, yeah.
Second one, I would say then, is like we've talked about the important things, you know,
yeah.
eternal.
Mm-hmm.
And then filter that through storing up treasure,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then last, I would say, not to separate the eternal from significant, because obviously they should be the same, but the significant now, like this is a big thing I'm trying to get some people that I'm teaching right now to understand. Like if you want to move forward, and like, take care of the thing that's right in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about the 150 other
yeah.
things. Like right now, for example, at Jericho, it's like, okay, you got to graduate this program. You got to finish this class. Finish
yeah.
the class.
Yeah.
Put your energy there.
Yeah.
You know, so whatever that thing is.
John Piper actually, when he was in, I think he was in seminary, he said, you know, his dad gave him some good advice. He said, keep your room clean.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the idea was, right now, what is your task? Your task is to keep your room clean. Focus on that. Right. And then there's going to be more responsibility. There'll be bigger rooms.
Jordan Peterson mm-hmm. made millions off of that same.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. His Rules to Life.
Okay.
Are y'all familiar with Jordan Peterson? Big, you know, the Canadian philosopher.
Okay.
Psychiatrist. Anyway, exact concept.
Yeah.
Clean your room.
Yeah.
That's exact same mm-hmm. words. And there, I think there's a lot to that where you just, okay, focus in on that one thing, knock it out. Because once you can learn to focus, oh, man, it opens up.
Yeah.
And I think it's from especially from a Christian perspective, too, it broadens even beyond that. I mean, if it would the idea of being faithful with little. You know, being a good steward of what's in front of you and what's the what moment are you in now? Mm-hmm. Did I use this moment well? Mm-hmm. And as we deal with and work through, you know, the idea of am I dealing with this moment well? I think God will continue to broaden our horizons. But I think
that imbalance is what we're talking about. Taking care of your time.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I think some of this too, some of these priority issues, some of these priority questions that we're asking, they actually kind of go back around to, you know, what is your calling to, right? Yeah. What are you plugging into who God has called you to be, right? All of us are husbands, all of us are fathers. Mm-hmm. You know, we look back at scripture and what's the first institution that God actually puts together? It's actually the family. Yeah. Right, you know, that's the first thing we do. Adam is given a mandate to work the earth and to, you know, be fruitful and multiply. Mm-hmm. You know, those are those wed issues. The issues are kind of wed together in the text there. But the idea, really, I think more than anything else, is that, you know, what are you called to do? You're called to be this kind of a person. That's what you need to kind of plug into. That needs to drive your priorities.
Yeah.
As that, and part of what, you know, we're called to do, if you're in a family, or part of what you're called to do is be in a family, is to be a family.
Yeah.
You know,
now, kind of along those same lines a little bit, and this will be the last kind of main topic, and then we'll jump into a few quick questions, and we'll close down the episode. But, you know, I was just at a gathering, and I had three individuals, one in his 80s, one in his 70s, and one in his 50s, and all of them dealing with their mortality in a very real sense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, considering the fact that, you know, they may not be here within the next 10 years, may not be here mm-hmm. within the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. Certainly during this time of the year, folks who have lost, you know, family members, have lost friends, you know, in the last 12 months, last, you know, few years, certainly this is a very special time, right, of remembrance, of spending that time together. It's also a very difficult time of also the same thing, right? Would you say there's any special things that we could do for those people, hurting people during this particular season? And this is more of a ministry, I think, you know, question. But again, I would say at the same time, all of us are called to ministry, mm-hmm. right?
Well, I think something Andrew pointed out over Thanksgiving, you had friends mixed in with family. Mm-hmm. And I think that for some of those folks who this time is so difficult for, just inviting them in mm-hmm. to something. I mean, you know, we want to make sure that we do right by our families, but we also want to make sure that we're loving the community in which God has placed us. And sometimes that means just reaching out and embracing someone who doesn't have a place to be.
Yeah.
You know, invite them to, you know, just a dinner, just something that says, hey, look, you're still valued, you're still loved, you're still cared for. You know, thank you for being a part of our family, mm-hmm. our, you know, our church family, particularly in the context of the church.
Yeah.
I had an interesting one this year. One of the mills we were helping with, I found out one of the gentlemen that we were serving, he lost his father at Thanksgiving.
Oh, wow.
And not this Thanksgiving, but previous. Right. And so it was really hard. And so something different. And we just kind of left him alone. We gave him that time, you know. Mm-hmm. And not to sound counter what Ben was saying, because I think you do need to invite. And we did, you know. But he needed that time alone. And it was like, okay, you don't have to be here to make us happy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. give you that space. You know, we understand that you're grieving right now. Mm-hmm. And if that's what you need, you know, the next day he's right there with us.
Yeah.
You know, so what I'm getting to at that point is this, is sometimes we do acts of kindness and service. But if we really think about it, it's to fulfill our own, to make us feel good. Mm-hmm. Maybe mm-hmm. sometimes what we don't really need to feel good through this time, you know, mm-hmm. like let the person just be what they need to be,
yeah.
you know, give them that space. So that'd be one. And there's just a plug at Northcliff. We've doing a lot of that tonight, but that's good. Our church does, I think, a phenomenal job of offering up different types of classes and stuff. I've never seen a church do as much as our church. I think it's really cool from that collective perspective mm-hmm. to maybe train other people or just walk through with them. Because I got to be honest, maybe this is my being naive, but I this is not something I thought of mm-hmm. too awfully much in my life, where it's like, oh, this is a really hard time. I haven't experienced a lot mm-hmm. of that yet yeah. with people. And so I was just very encouraged mm-hmm. by seeing, you know, the stuff that was offered.
Yeah.
Like we have a grieving through the holidays, event where, We had some folks from the Grief Care Fellowship, one of whom is a former pastor and a member of our church, Fran Welch. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, that kind of stuff's awesome.
And they had the what was that lady's name?
Her name was Nancy Self. Yeah,
Nancy Self.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to her. Holy cow, that was amazing. Yeah, she was great.
Okay, so now we're going to end on a little bit of a lighter note, hopefully. And I'm just going to ask you a few kind of questions and answer the question. And then if you want to share a little bit about that answer, that would be okay. And we got about 5 minutes, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, so first question is this. What is your favorite Christmas location? And then I'll rephrase it. If you could spend Christmas anywhere in the world, where would you want to spend Christmas?
I would say Willersburg, Ohio, because that was where all my family, I grew up, and those are the memories growing up as a kid.
Yep. Benjamin?
Dead air, brother.
My heart just keeps going back to North Carolina for Christmas.
Okay, yeah.
Not that I don't love being around family, which I absolutely do. I love that my kids get their grandparents and all that other kind of great stuff. It's amazing.
Let's say you could take them all.
If I could take them all with me, then I'm definitely going to North Carolina. It's not even a question.
Especially when we're going to Boone.
We're going to Boone. We're going to enjoy the snow. We're going to hack
double-decker Wendy's.
Hack down our We're going to hack down our own Christmas tree. We're going to call it a day, man. Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, we've been going up to like North Georgia here the last few years. I really enjoy that. I enjoy it when all the family's there. It's really a good time. And something about that kind of cold air, too, you know, really brings it. Because, again, sometimes here in Florida, man, you get that 80 and 90 degree weather. It just doesn't feel like Christmas.
Dude, I remember when I was a kid, I got a bike for Christmas.
Yeah.
And then I, like, literally rode my bike out my front door, shorts and a T-shirt.
Yep.
I mean, it was Florida, man. It was December 25th.
That's how we roll. Next question. What is your favorite Christmas album? Favorite Christmas
Little Drummer Boy by Jars of Clay.
Okay. All right. I'll have to listen to that, man. Little Drummer Boy by Jars of Clay. All right. What about you, Andrew?
I have no idea. I like Oh Holy Night.
Yep.
And so give me the best ballad version of that and I'm happy.
Okay. Anybody singing O Holy Night.
But it's got to be that real, I like a female voice with O Holy Night, and it's got to be that real, like a Celine Dion. Like,
okay.
Oh, man. All right. That's good stuff.
There's actually another group. King & Country has a great set of Christmas songs,
okay.
And they've done like some cool videos on YouTube with it, too.
Yeah, me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Some ones that I go to year after year.
I'm looking forward to this answer.
I shouldn't say it.
The Chipmunks?
NSYNC Christmas. Woo! For years, I would listen.
Wait, how about?
Yeah,
NSYNC.
NSYNC, yeah, yeah. Right. Justin Timberlake. And then you have another one that I listened to a lot was 98 Degrees.
Nope.
Another Christmas one. There's a big band Christmas album, and it's actually kind of a generic big band Christmas. So you give me a big band feel of all going through the Christmas, instrumental, man. I can go to town.
So big. If we could take like a big band, backing
up
a boy band, this would be Chris's ideal Christmas album.
We should also see if we can get Chris to get the Frosted Tips.
Oh,
what?
Been there, done that, man.
Oh,
been there, done
that.
All right. So next here. So you gave me the favorite Christmas album. Now you said the Little Drummer Boy. I'm assuming that's the name of the album. Let me ask you the favorite Christmas song. You've already kind of answered it with Oh Holy Night, and that's okay.
I will give you another album.
Okay.
I think Boys to Men put out a Christmas album.
Okay.
And I think I remember liking that one. So
there we go.
I'll reverse
there
that.
There we go. All right. So Boys to Men, your favorite album song is Oh Holy Night.
My favorite album is like.
Benjamin, where are we going, man?
I'm going home.
So Michael Bublé's Home, is that the
No. No.
Goodness gracious.
What are we doing again? Christmas
song?
Probably Carol of the Bells.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Probably Carol of the Bells.
If I'm remembering the story right, it's
amazingly dark actually. Because it's the I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to be talking about the wrong song. I'm going to feel really bad. But it's No, I heard the bells on Christmas Day.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
That's the one. I love Carol the Bells actually is my favorite, but the one I was thinking of is I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day, and the reason that that was just so amazingly dark is because it's actually a guy who, he lost his entire family in a ferry crossing.
Oh.
And the boat, the ferry sank, and it's just an amazing story of the bells on Christmas Day that were just in the midst of this time that could have been tragic and despair, the church bells reminded him of hope.
Wow.
And is the story I heard is the backstory for that song. It's,
which reminds me, Michelle and I were talking about this the other day.
Yeah.
We love coming into towns and seeing church steeples. They mm-hmm. give us like peace. So shout out to churches that still put steeples
yeah.
on. I like that. I wish we would do that more. I think that's, you know.
My favorite random. Christmas song, that's all right. My favorite Christmas song, I think, is Vince Gill. Vince Gill.
No. Time out. We got to hear the NSYNC version of your favorite song first.
Vince Gill's It Won't Be the Same This Year. It's also one of those sad ones. It's, I believe, after his brother died.
Man, you guys yeah, are yeah, all yeah, into your feelings.
Yeah. Is that not allowed here?
Apparently it is.
Straight knowledge and no emotions.
No, we can have emotion. I'm just a little shocked.
All right. Now,
Vince Gill.
Yeah. So, favorite Christmas movie?
Oh, that's easy. National Lampoon's
Christmas Vacation.
No joke. That is my wife's favorite Christmas movie of all time.
Okay. Well, since both of y'all have that, favorite part? I can tell you mine. What is the thing that Randy Quaid wears? The orange thing underneath the white shirt?
The mock turtle.
Oh my gosh, that just gets me every time. Love it so much. Granny, that whole scene is ridiculous.
The granny that starts that they call her to give grace, and then she ends up to pledge allegiance. I like that one.
Man, I just can't get over the Christmas tree. I love the Christmas tree.
Wait, the whole thing. Oh, the whole thing?
Yeah, the whole thing. Really?
When they get out there, they don't have a saw.
Even when like he opens up the Christmas tree and it like blows out the window.
Dad, I think it's a little pig.
That's the best. That's the best.
Oh, goodness.
And I pledge allegiance. That's
right. They got Home Alone. Stephanie, my wife, she likes the Home Alone, she said, was her favorite. I think that's where I go is that one.
Like, I think my favorite, like, kind of like.
No. I think that one is my favorite.
Like,
yeah.
I think, like, Chevy Chase. One of my favorite, like, cutesy Christmas movies, though, has got to be, like, the Santa Claus with Tim Allen.
Okay, yeah.
That was so fun.
But real quick, going back to that movie favorite scene. It's not even close. It's when he gets locked in the attic and he starts playing the Ray Charles song. I can cry to that right in this minute. You put it on, I will be crying right now. Talk about emotions. Anyhow, we've been all over the place, and it's been fun, and I've enjoyed it. And I appreciate y'all playing along. I was thinking about this earlier today. I'm like, hey, what if we did this? And so, anyway, like you said, man, I think that's pretty interesting that you think even our moms listen. But anyway, who wants to close in a word of prayer?
I will.
All right, man. Go ahead.
All right. Jesus, thank you so much for this season. Thank you for coming. Lord, I've been just really contemplating and thinking through how there was that waiting time. And Father, as we wait to celebrate, we also wait for your second return. And we can't wait. We're so excited. And Lord, I just want to say that we're grateful. And Lord, thank you that even though your spirit's with us always, it still feels special during this time, and I'm just appreciative of that. And Lord, just thank you for these men, and God, I thank you for all those that are listening. God, help them see you through this season. We pray in your holy name.
Amen. Thanks, guys.
As always, thank you for listening to People in Exile. For more information, visit the website, peopleinexile.com, and make sure to follow us on Facebook. Until next time, keep praying and seeking the welfare of your city.